Among all the other things, I love the Easter season. We talked about it on Palm Sunday. I love the Easter season. I also love leftovers. I love Easter leftovers. Easter is a goated leftover day. A lot of really good leftovers on Easter. Second to Thanksgiving, probably. Because Thanksgiving, you just can't beat that. My dad made a killer dinner followed by a killer carrot cake that Bree likes carrot cake more than just about anything in the world. She liked that carrot cake so much that she still has like a bite or two left of it because she doesn't want it to go away. She wants to make it last. Now, I'm very different. If I like something, it's gone. Like, it's done. Bree's very different. Let's ask this question, though. Are there any foods that you think are better as leftovers than they are fresh? Oh, Jesse stood up. Little Caesars, that's true. But that's only because it's like not really that good fresh.
Hey, whoa. Little Caesars is good.
It's fine. Jesse says, you add just a little bit of nuclear radiation on it. Samson, go ahead.
Our sweet potatoes. So let me explain this. So we just dump a bunch of brown sugar and syrup.
Mm-hmm.
It's good fresh. When you put that in the refrigerator and then warm it back up, it caramelizes beautifully.
Ooh. Wow. Ooh. Chef Samson. Aiden, go ahead.
I have to say, frozen pizza.
Frozen pizza. Well, yeah, frozen pizza.
Like, reheated is better, I feel like.
Nope. Wow.
What do you mean?
No.
You don't like frozen pizza?
Cheese. I love me a good old frozen pizza. Let me see.
Christian is standing up. Listen. Christian is passionate about frozen pizzas. Sammy, last one. True. Yeah. Right. I would add to this list maybe Chinese food. Chinese food is like pretty good reheated. I don't know if it's better than it is fresh. Let's all agree here, right? If you invite someone over to your house and you're trying to impress them, maybe it's that special someone. You're not serving leftovers. Leftovers are not on the menu if you're trying to impress that special someone. And maybe you're not even cooking. Maybe unless you're truly, you know, something special. If someone was trying to impress you, they wouldn't make you leftovers, right? Bree and I had this pretty sour experience a couple of weeks ago, where we went food tasting for our upcoming wedding, and they did this thing where you could show up at 6 and do like a drive-through, COVID-friendly, pick your food up in like a paper bag and take it to go, or you could show up at 6:30, which is what we did, and eat it at the facility. We're like, this is great. We're going to show up at 6:30. We're going to have the food. Well, the food didn't really come to our plates until about 7. But the food that they gave to us was the same food that they gave to the drive-through people. So it was like an hour old. And you could tell. You could tell that it was not super fresh. And so we had to just like send an email. We had to be like,
we wrote a strongly worded email.
We put together a strongly worded email. I put together the first draft, and she was like, honey, you're not mean enough. I was like, sorry. So we were let down by this food tasting experience. Now we've worked it out with the facility. They've been very helpful. But if our goal is to make others feel special, we would try to put out good, fresh food, not leftovers. Y'all don't want that email. Listen, if Bree is sending you a strongly worded email, you're done messed up, right? So the question this morning is, do you give God fresh food or do you give him leftovers, right? This is, of course, a metaphor that I'm going to stretch out all morning. I'm going to make this last the whole morning. But the real question is, when you make time for God in your heart, do you start with his time? Or do you use your time up in other places and then be like, all right, what do I have left for God? I can give him kind of the spare bedroom, right? Today I want to explore the meaning and value of a word that is used in Scripture called first fruits. It is one word. It looks like two, but it is one word. And I want to explore how it pertains to our worship and how it pertains to our understanding of Christ. And in the process, Scripture is going to show us this. To glorify God with our lives, we should give him more than just our leftovers. So let's pray. Let's break into the word. Lord, we thank you for this time that we have this morning. Thank you for some spring weather. Lord, I pray that we would be able to enjoy some sunshine and some warm weather. And Lord, I just thank you for the blessings you've given to us this morning. I pray that you would move in this room and your spirit would open our eyes and open our hearts to see you in new ways. Make us what we are not yet. And in your precious name we pray. Amen. So I want to break into Deuteronomy chapter 26. We're going Old Testament this morning. Not something I do a ton of, I understand. First fruits is a part of a commandment in the Old Testament regarding offerings, okay? So Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, and then verses 10 and 11, they go like this. And it shall be, when you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, that is, Israel, Canaan, the land flowing with milk and honey, and you possess it and dwell in it, that you should take some of first of all the produce of the ground which you shall bring from your land that the Lord your God is giving you, and put it in a basket, and go to the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide, that is the temple, the tabernacle. And you shall go to the one who is the priest in those days and say to him, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the country which the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. Then the priest shall take the basket out of your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God, and you shall answer and say before the Lord your God, my father was a Syrian, about to perish, and he went down to Egypt and dwelt there, few in number. And there he became a nation, great, mighty, and populous. Skip down to verse 10. And now, behold, I have brought you the first fruits of the land which you, O Lord, have given me. Then you shall set it before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. So you shall rejoice in every good thing which the Lord your God has given to you and your house, you and the Levite and the stranger who is among you. What's happening here is God is commanding the Israelites to be like, all right, when you worship, here's something I want you to do. I want you to bring an offering. I want you to bring the first of all your produce. That's what it says in verse 1. In verse 10, it calls it your first fruits. The first of all your produce, and lay it at the altar of God. Now, something we've talked about in the past is that in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, the concept of first is not the same as our concept of first. If you get first place in a relay race, that's because you finished first chronologically. You finished before anybody else. Whoever finished behind you is second and then third. If you have a favorite color, that would be your first favorite color. It is first in order. In the Bible, first is like that. It is first in importance, not first in chronological order. For example, when Jesus in the New Testament is called the firstborn of all creation, there were many, many people born of creation before him. Many people, including these people that the book of Deuteronomy is talking to. However, Jesus is the most important. So therefore, he is the firstborn of all creation. This is kind of the heart of the issue with the Cain and Abel story. If you remember, Cain and Abel, they both are giving a sacrifice to God. Cain gives his greatest calf, or his greatest lamb, I think. And he says, Lord, this is my greatest lamb. I give to you my choicest lamb, my precious lamb. And then Abel is on the other side. He's like, yo, God, I got a cornucopia for you. I got these veggies. And God's like, well, listen, I kind of asked for something specific. And Abel was like, well, I got these, but these scraps, though, like, these are yours. And God obviously blesses Cain. And then Abel is like, I'm not cool with that. Something about that rubs me the wrong way. Kills his brother. Go ahead. Did I get that backwards? Man, that's embarrassing. Wow. Yo, I got that backwards for real? Wow. Dude, this coffee is not kicked in. Noah keeping me sharp. Wow, that's embarrassing. All right, let me start over. I'm just kidding. I won't go over it again. God's commanding to the Israelites, when you give offerings, they ought to be choice, right? They should be worth something. I don't want your leftovers, right? If we look at Proverbs 3, 9, and 10, we don't have to turn there, but it goes like this. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. The idea of our first fruits is tied to the concept of tithing, right? Of giving offerings. Giving of your first fruits was both an act of reverence to God and also an act of service to the people who worked in the temple. It's kind of how tithes work too. And so the concept of first is very important here. It's not chronology, it is not order of happening, but it is order of importance. What's the most important thing to you? That is your first thing, right? When it says that God should be first in your heart, it makes sense to us thinking, okay, first in importance. So the first fruits of your harvest are not the ones you pick first, but are the ones you value the most. They are the best ones. So to this end, what would your first fruits be? We are not apple pickers by trade. We are not farmers, except for me and soon to be Bree. Shout out. We aren't giving up fruit offerings. We don't have to give offerings anymore, right? Technically, we don't have to do the sacrifice thing. I have never once killed a lamb, right? Never had to do it. A lot of times shows up in the Bible. I haven't had to do it. Thanks be to God. But I'm not giving up these fruit offerings. I'm not collecting fruit. I do not have a storehouse full of fruit. I do not even have a first favorite fruit, right? What does this mean for me? The question becomes, what do I have that God is asking of me? That's the real question. What do I have that God wants? Now, there are plenty of things that you have that God wants, and this is, of course, a very familiar question for those of you who have been here for February. God asks us a few things, right? In the material sense, he asks that we tithe, that we give offerings. There's a strict correlation between tithes and first fruits, right? That you would give of your belongings and give them to God's work in the Old Testament, the temple, and in the New Testament, the church. There's plenty of examples in the New Testament of Paul encouraging people to be cheerful givers, to give. You see in the Gospels, Jesus is talking to people at the temple who are giving and is commending them, like the women with just the 1 cent that she gives. And he says, she has given more than any of these people, right? God has a very high view of those who give. So that's in the material sense. In the immaterial sense, he asks that we worship him, right? That we give him worship, that we give him worth, especially with our giftedness, right? We talked about this a lot in February. What is your giftedness and how can you serve God with it? What is the thing that you know how to do and you say, I'm going to use that to make God, or to make God magnified, right? Whether you play an instrument and you want to play worship, or whether you are just kind of in your shower and you're blaring some music and you're like, no one can hear me but me and God. I'm going to sing my heart out. I'm going to belt right here in the shower. Or maybe you draw, right? You draw something and you say, Lord, thank you for helping me make this thing. Like this is yours, right? Worshiping God with your gifts. So that's in the immaterial sense. In the spiritual sense, we've talked about this one a lot, he asks for your heart. This is really another way of saying that you shall have no other gods before me, right? That God is asking for the first fruits of your heart. That is, whatever proceeds out of your heart, the most valuable things are his. And then in the lifestyle sense, he asks for your time. So those of you who are paying attention, I have a table up here. I don't usually do this, but I have a table up here. I want to do a little demonstration here about you honoring God with your time. So here is you and your time. And here's also you and your time. We'll get to it. I got this sand here. I got rock salt. Got to keep the roads nice and dry. I got these marbles. And then I got some tennis balls and golf balls. These are all representations of the time that you spend on stuff, okay? So we'll call two tennis balls adequate time with God. Now, maybe you could get one, but if you really want growth, if you really want your life to be changed a little bit, you're going to want two tennis balls, okay? You got a whole lot of responsibilities, like school, like your home chores. You got all sorts of things going on in your life. Some of you got jobs. Yeah. We're talking seven golf balls. Oh. Seven golf, one responsibility a day, right? We can reckon with that. We can deal with one responsibility a day, one homework assignment, one little essay, one little something, something. You know what I'm saying? Seven golf balls is about what you do in a day. You got to get those done. Those are important. Right up there with time with God, you got to get the stuff done, right? A lot of marbles for the time we spend with our friends and family. Listen, you gotta get with your friends and family. It's very important for you to make sure that you are spending adequate time with your loved ones, with the ones who love you back, right? We can vibe with that. But you need some time to get the stuff you really like doing, right? COD's not going to play itself, right? We gotta get a little better. Rocket League, right? Some of you don't play video games, right? We got some books to read, right? Just some leisure time. We got podcasts. We got podcasts to read. Podcasts to listen to. Sorry, I'm trying to be on autopilot a little bit here. And then all the other time you spend is sand. We're gonna use sand for all the other time. Anybody like sleep? Sleep. Sleep is sand. Sleep can fit anyone. Mr. Sandman, bring me a dream. Now, I, for one, personally, I love my sleep. So I'm going to make sure that in my week, I am getting plenty of sleep. I gotta be pretty for my wedding, right? I got to be well-rested. I got a lot of responsibilities. I got stuff to do. I got to sleep. I got to relax, man. I gotta take things easy. I got some games. Steam. Y'all play games on Steam? Steam games? I got some games I gotta beat, right? I'm trying to get into Elite Smash in Smash Bros. I wanna get Plat in Rocket League. I got some new books I gotta read, right? I got some podcasts I wanna listen to. Ooh, there's a clump, right? That's a movie night. I got stuff I gotta do. Dude, there's some signs I gotta rock with, right? Oh, hang on. I got stuff I gotta do this week. I got some papers I gotta write. I gotta write some papers here. Oh, man, if I don't see Bree right now, dog, she's gonna be so mad at me. She's gonna be so mad if I don't see her. Sunday morning. I don't have time for it. I don't have time for it. Nah, I can't cut out the sleep. I already slept. I already did the sleeping. Right? I can't. What am I going to do? I'm going to take back my sleep?
Forget about that.
I got to hit a tight 12 hours.
Forget about the essay. No one cares.
Yeah, maybe I'll take some time. Maybe I'll take some time from Bree. Maybe I'll take some time from Bree. Oh, so I shouldn't do that. Okay, so, all right, okay. Listen, I'm just listening to you guys, right?
God versus Bree, though. I don't know,
God got hands.
God can throw them holy hands.
If I'm giving God my leftovers, I'm not going to fit it. In order for me to fit all the responsibilities, all the things that I have to do, I got to start with the big things. I got to give God his due. I got to give my responsibility is their time. I got to give time to my loved ones. I got to give plenty of time to the loved ones. Look at all this time for my loved ones. Look at that. Look at all that time. Look at all... What's that?
Why do they need
Dog, honestly, let's give him more. Let's give him more time. Look at all my, ooh. I got FaceTime.
Oh.
Right? Fit it in with someone. I got game night with the fellas. Let's fill it up. Oh, actually, hold up. Is it trickling down?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, wait. No way.
Dog, are you serious?
No way.
Are you serious? Am I going to fit sleep on this?
No way.
Am I going to be able to fit all of this in here, dog? Am I really going to be able to fill all this stuff in a day? Maybe I'm missing out on a little bit of that sleep, but man, I'm sufficient here. I am sufficient. It works. I fit everything I wanted to fit because I started with the big stuff. My first fruits came first. God didn't have to ask for my leftovers because I gave them to him first. And I had plenty of room for everything else. Matter of fact, if the sand wasn't so clumpy, it might even hit the bottom, right? We don't fool with leftovers. Because God is not going to get his due time. If you want to get closer to God, you got to give him his due time. You got to give him first fruits. As with all things, God doesn't ask of your first fruits so that he can shackle you into a life of self-righteousness. He doesn't ask of your first fruits so that you can be morally superior to those around you. No, he asks of your first fruits so that you may be able to properly prioritize a life that fits the important things where they ought to be. Psalm 16, I go back to it all the time because it's so rich. You have made known to me the path of life. Everything that God is asking of us to do is not shackles. It is not a punishment for having chosen a life where we want to honor him. Instead, giving God our first fruits is a way to live abundantly. He does not ask us to give him those things so that we can be shackled into a life of misery, right? Be some joyless curmudgeon. Oh, absolutely it's a word. It's an elite word. Curmudgeon. You know, college level words? The return? And so I admit, that illustration is very cool, but one, I didn't come up with it. It's a classic. It's an internet classic. And two, it's not perfect. Most of you are probably looking at this and saying, well, of course I want this one. Because I pitched it in a way that made it seem admirable. But some of you are probably thinking, like, yeah, that seems great, but, like, how? This illustration doesn't really explain the how. Right? Putting it into practice isn't nearly as easy. But this is what Paul talks about in Romans chapter 7, right? That in summary, that I know what is right to do, and I want to do it. Deep down, I want to do it. But there's something about my flesh that just gets in the way and makes it impossible. I don't know what to do about it. That's when he gets into the whole, thanks be to God for this glorious gift, that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, right? That's where that comes in. But the tricky life of faith is that it's very easy to recognize what is good, but very hard to do it. It's very hard to do it. You look at this, and you're like, obviously, but our lives tend to look more like this. Not because we want them to, but just because that's what happens. It's what happens to our lives as a matter of our flesh. It just is what happens. I could do the whole, you can walk the path of the world, or you could walk the path of God, and you would all say, yeah, I want to walk the path of God. But actually doing it is a much different question, because it's not easy. It's far more difficult than just saying, yeah, I want to do it. That's like something I want to do. Of course it is. We all want to. It's just not easy. It's not as easy. It's easier said than done, right? But that doesn't mean we shouldn't try. And it doesn't mean that God will reject us when we do. Scripture would agree that a mentality that says, I have no idea how to do what I'm trying to do, but I'm going to try to do it anyway, is on par with a first fruits giving lifestyle, right? Having that mindset that the guy in Mark chapter 9 has, where he's like, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. There's a big part of me that's like, this, there's no way. But like, at my core, I believe. Help me. And God honors him. He asks for something, and God's like, wow, look at this prayer of faith. Let me heal this child that you came to me to heal. Because I recognize that that saying comes from a place of great faith. And that's enough for me. Trying and failing is not the end. Trying and failing, as a matter of fact, is as some might even argue, the beginning, right? Just because you don't know how to do what it is that you are trying to do, that you want to do, that your heart is telling you should do, doesn't mean you shouldn't try to do it. It's that whole grace-driven effort thing. You rest on the grace of God, and he'll get you where you're trying to go. Won't be a straight line, guarantee you that. Shout out to my guy, Peter. But we're not here for the straight line. We're here for the trajectory. We're here for an end goal. We're here because God promises that we are not finished products. We never will be. Just like the construction on the highway. It's always something. It's always something. Some helpful things you can do to be giving God your first fruit. So here's maybe some practical steps we can take. If you have a job, tithe. Now, it sounds dumb. It sounds maybe silly that, like, listen, like I make $6 a week, right? plus tips, right? But part of the subtext behind first fruits for the Israelites was, okay, God gave us this land. Let's give its best fruits back. Okay, that's the heart of the matter, right? That we never deserved this land that God gave to us. This is our way of repaying him. Now, if we would stand together and say that, praise be to God, for he gave us this job, then it would make sense that your first fruits from your job would proceed out of it. Now, the tricky thing about with the job and tithing is that, technically speaking, in a rigid understanding of the Bible, your first fruits from your paycheck would be the number prior to what they take out in your income tax. Because, like, technically that's your whole fruits. And then they take away some of your fruits because the government wants your first fruits, right? Because they know based on what God wants that it's actually a good thing to want, right? All these things are cyclical. But our church even has like e-tithing, right? Like you can just wire it from your bank account. And here's the thing. Here's the wild thing. I started doing the e-tithing thing when I started here because I finally started getting like regular paychecks instead of the thing where like I'm sure you guys deal with it at Chick-fil-A or wherever your jobs are. I'll get like 3 hours 1 week, and then the next week the boss will be like, hey, we don't have enough people working. And it's like, yeah, because I worked 3 hours. He's like, okay, you want to work 30? Okay. So I'll go from like this, literally like a $12 paycheck to like whatever. So anyway, when I started making like a regular amount of money, e-tithing is really nice. And it helps you feel like you have buy-in in the program of God. It helps you feel like I have a place here, right? It's very easy when you're completely detached on all levels to feel like they're doing something and I'm just showing up. It's a really good way to feel like you're a part of something. Another helpful thing that you can do is you can find your giftedness and use it to worship God. Those of you who may not know what it is that you're gifted at, that's okay. When you find it, there's going to be a whole lot of fulfillment that you can find by using it to worship God. Part of the thing is like, I thought worship was only music and I'm tone deaf. Well, that's untrue, right? Like, you can worship God in all sorts of ways. Worship really is just showing God that he is worthy, right? So if you do what Tim Tebow used to do back in like 2010 or whatever when he was at Florida State, he would put John 3:16 on his eye blacks. And people were like, oh, look at this thing that he's doing. That's wild. And he would like, pray before games. He would get his team to pray before games. And he is like still known to anybody who knows anything about like mid-2010 sports as like the Christian quarterback guy who in, it was 2012, he was like Tebow time guy where he was just like ridiculous in fourth quarters and he would drag the Denver Broncos out of these playoff games that they had no business winning. And I remember having conversations in school where I heard people say, listen, people think that like God is helping him win. God doesn't care about no football. And I was just sitting in the back like, I don't know, maybe he does. Like, how do you say it? How do you say it? Using whatever it is that you do to honor God, that's your first fruits. That's your first fruits. Another thing is that you can work on giving God your heart, which is something that we've talked a lot about, right? Is there something that is between you and God that you're like, listen, God, like maybe I want to be a part of this, but I got some questions that I haven't gotten answers to yet. I know what that's like. Do you have reservations about whether or not God is actually for you? Are you unsure of how to get past those reservations? Prayer, fellowship, and knowledge, all in that order, will all be helpful for you. Right? Learning how to see God for who he is not something that you will do immediately. But it is something that will happen if you try. God makes himself known to those who seek him. And the last thing maybe that you could do, obviously this is not a full list, but you can give God your time. If you want to get closer to God and you're only thinking about him on Sundays and Wednesdays when you show up to church, I'm here to tell you right now that's not enough. It is enough to keep you coasting, which anybody who's like me is perfectly fine with coasting. I coasted my way all the way through high school in like all levels. Didn't try like at all for anything. Didn't get a whole lot closer to God though. There are 168 hours in a week and three of them we spend at church. Those of you who are good at math know that that's not a great proportion, a great ratio, a great percentage. If you have struggled to get closer to God, maybe time has been a barrier for you, right? Have you given to God the first fruits of your time? If you're only giving him 3 hours a week, maybe not. It's hard to do anything at all. It's hard to get better at anything. It is hard to accomplish anything if you are only devoting 3 hours a week to it. Because to glorify God with our lives, he's got to have more than our leftovers. He's got to have more than our leftovers. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time that you've given us. Lord, I pray that you would move in all of us to want to give freely the most important things to us. That you would empower us and encourage us and instruct us how to give to you the first fruits of our lives, whether it's through our worship, whether it's through our things, or whether it's through our heart and our time. Lord, I just think that you are doing such awesome things in this teen ministry, and I pray that you would continue to do them. Bless us as we go. Make us what we are not yet. And in your precious name we pray. Amen.